Hi everyone. We'll start at 3 minutes time. Understood, Maccabee. Jeff, are you able to scribe today?
Hi, yes, I can do that.
Thank you. All right, let's begin. Let's start with liaison updates. Maccabee.
Yeah, no CC meetings, so no updates there.
All right, thank you. Christy.
So at the PC meeting, they did actually well, this is actually just more of an announcement. They've reinstated the weekly agenda setting meeting, and they've asked for the TC and Community Council liaisons to attend that meeting. So I'll be attending a Tuesday morning meeting to set the agenda for the PC meeting. So if there's anything that we would like announced at the PC meeting or put on the agenda, please reach out to me and let me know. They shared the working agenda for the Tri-Council meeting at WolfCon. I put a link to that in the meeting minutes for today. They also shared out a link to the synthesis document where the three community directed development proposals are being synthesized into a singular framework. And there'll actually be two WolfCon sessions on that. One is going to be just an overview of the three proposals and the historical context, and then a workshop for gathering feedback. And then finally, there was a discussion about community priorities from resource access and reporting SIG. And much of the work of the reporting SIG right now, and I thought this was particularly of note, of interest to this group, is on data privacy in MetaDB.
Understood. Thank you for that update. And when you say PC agenda setting, that's setting the agenda for the meeting at WolfCon specifically, or just in general?
Just in general, there's going to be a Tuesday morning meeting. It's like a half an hour where they set the agendas for future meetings. They check in on the Thursday agenda and then plan for future agenda meetings.
Got it.
And yes, thank you. Maccabee, I actually have a conflict this week with a university-wide meeting that I need to attend. So Maccabee will be attending the PC meeting on Thursday to discuss. Do you want to actually share that, Maccabee? You can probably talk about it more
Yeah.
articulately than I can.
Just our TCR criteria points to their wiki page for functionality they approve, but they also have a Jira project now. And I'm not sure where they intend to be updating, but they weren't doing either in the most recent eval. So just getting that clarified.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Any updates for the RMS group?
I don't think so. Sorry, I should have looked beforehand.
All
I
right.
think there's just been continuing discussion about how to get the National Library of Sweden stuff in, given the change in the Trillium schedule. But other than that, it's just still going on, and there's still no Trillium date yet.
Okay, I was about to ask you that. All right. Security team.
Work as usual, nothing to report.
Cool. Eureka early adopters.
I think pretty much the same update as last time. There was one other issue that one of the early adopters had found. We had briefly triaged it. It's in the next sprint, and I've already got CSP approval for it. So I think that one was a simple fix. I don't have the Jira handy. I'll put it in chat later on so we can add it to the notes.
All right.
Wayne, go ahead.
Thanks, Craig. Yeah, I and so I think I would be interested to hear. This is maybe not an early adopters question, but maybe it's a question for the Eureka team. What's the direction that you are taking on Kong? It sounds like there's a spike to investigate Kong alternatives. There's a spike to build Kong from source ourselves and provide a container implementation. What is like what way is the team going right now, or is it still in the early stages of investigation?
Yeah, we're still investigating. We're trying to get the full landscape, the big picture here of what all of our options are. So the spike, what both of those spikes that are linked there, the spike and the proof of concept have both been completed. The building Kong from source one, there's some good documentation up on the wiki on how to do that, and identify some potential pitfalls and so forth. For the spike, it was sort of a broad analysis of the marketplace, or the what's the word I'm looking for, the I used the word landscape earlier. I guess, what are the available API gateways out there today? And one of them, Apache API 6, has sort of emerged as the leading contender if we are going to go that direction. So, Victor Gemma, the solution architect that's working closely with Eureka team, is doing sort of a deeper dive into that right now, to see, because they were during his initial sort of analysis. There were a couple things that were like, yeah, we should double check on this. We should look into that and so forth. And so he's doing those now. But again, we're still in the information gathering phase. We're not necessarily leaning in any particular direction. Does that answer your question, Wayne?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess part of my question is how serious are we about investigating Kong alternatives, and is that something that organizations that are planning implementation should be keeping in mind that Kong may be replaced? Or is it really more of a due diligence thing, and there's not a immediate intention to move away from Kong?
I think it's too early to say that. I mean, I will say that it's not, we have a little bit of time here, right? Because it's not like the code is gone, right? The code is still open source. It's just that the Kong Incorporated is not adding any features to it. They've essentially forked it. They have their own enterprise version, their own repositories that are internal to them. They're private, where they've been adding features and stuff since June, and the sort of the open source repositories won't be getting the benefit of that. We've had some conversations with them, and they've stated that they will, do some security patching, but not to the same SLAs that they were upholding before. So I think we're sort of waiting to see a little bit here as we're gathering information, how the broader sort of open source community gathers and figures out what they're going to do here. Will this become sort of a more grassroots thing and less about Kong Incorporated maintaining this thing going forward? Will someone step up and so forth? So we're hoping that someone will. It doesn't seem like that's happened quite yet, but yeah, fingers crossed, I guess. And then we'll, at some point, we're going to need to make a decision. We're going to have to look at all the options here and see what makes the most sense and so forth. But I think for now, I don't want to say we're heading in one direction when we're unsure, really.
Right, and I understand that. I wasn't trying to force you into anything. I just, as we're looking at implementation, it's helpful to sort of know what direction you might be exploring.
Julian?
Kong is wrapped into a FolioKong module, and so there's no, this is a task for the developers, and if they have done any change, maybe changing to a different tool, then there's no work for the DevOps to do. It's different to Postgres, where you need to migrate or something. Here it's wrapped in the modules, so I don't see really a problem for implementers.
Well, I think
Right, that's
Wayne's point was if the project is going to head a different direction, use something other than Kong, certainly that will have impact on DevOps, but we're not there yet, is my answer, I think.
okay. Any other points on that before we move on?
No, I did add a link to Keycloak 6.9 was the other issue that Shelley had identified. It was a good catch, and that's pulled into next sprint. So, and I think we already have the necessary approvals for CSP, so that should be getting fixed and backported to Sunflower CSP 2.
Thanks, Greg. Community-driven development, and should we have this as a standalone item going forward?
I missed the last meeting, so this is a Maccabee question.
I also missed that meeting.
All right. We'll keep it on the agenda and ask about it next time. WolfCon prep. I don't. Is there anything to discuss there? All right. Upcoming meetings. We have a TC meeting today. On Wednesday, supposed to be discussion about extending support periods for Ramsons. And then the upper Monday would be WolfCon time. Are there any? So we only have this in our backlog to discuss as a dedicated discussion. Is there anything else we would want to discuss? Yes, Wayne.
So are we treating the 22nd as a travel day and not meeting, or are because
Yeah, we will not be meeting.
okay, thank you.
Should have clarified that. Yeah, no meeting on that day. Yeah, or the Wednesday, the 24th, as well. Any dedicated discussion topics? Okay. TCR board review. How is this going? Okay, it's supposed to be under TCR review, so it's changed status recently. Maccabee, I think this was yours.
Yeah, and I'm ready to go through it if folks are good with that now.
Anyone objects? All right, take it away.
Yeah, so I previewed this last week, I believe, and thanks to some of the answers there. Product Council now has listed it on their wiki page, so that criteria is checked. The third-party license dependencies seem okay as long as we ignore dev dependencies, which we are doing because I believe that's correct. So that's checked. So all the criteria, I should say, I have checked except for one. If you scroll down there to line 125,
Okay.
this gets this I think we talked about briefly last week as well. Has to do with the Stripes version. And so, as a recap from last week, the module descriptor requires Stripe's 10.0 with a caret, meaning it supports greater than 10.0, but it requires 10.0. And it should be it should, according to our criteria, use the OST for the most recent active release, which is Trillium, and Trillium specifically specifies 10.1 or greater. So my impression is that this the module itself should actually require 10.1 or greater. I did pose this question in the Tech Council channel late last week. And I see Zach is on the call here, so I was about to quote you, but if you want to share what you said about that, that would be great.
Sure. From the point of view of a new module, I think 10.1 is fine. It doesn't, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I'm trying to remember exactly what I said there, but a caret 10.0.0 will support 10.1.0, as you said. The only reason to have something lower would be if it was trying to make it optional in a earlier flower, but I don't know, I should probably just stop talking lest I muddy the waters. I think the requirements are clear. It's supposed to be the active release, which for these purposes is 10.1.0, which would describe compliance with Trillium, as you said.
Right. Yeah, what you said in your comment is when a new module is evaluated and the most recent active release is
Right.
n.1, which is the case here, then the new module should depend on n.1. So I
Yeah.
interpreted that to mean that they should change the module to specifically require 10.1. Am
Yeah.
I getting that wrong or? Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, again,
So.
since caret 10.0 also supports 10.1, it's sort of you're widening the thing you say you're compatible with, which isn't bad, but it is wider, right? I mean,
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I get the practical effect on it, and I'm just not sure what we meant to require here. In terms of the criteria, Wayne.
I mean, one thing to consider is that I don't know that this is the module developer's intent, but one thing to consider is that while they may be seeking approval for Trillium or for Umbrella Leaf, actually, or whatever it is, Trillium probably, it may be that there is a use case for including this in a application for Sunflower.
Yeah.
And so they would, the developer may say, I meet the criteria of
Yeah.
right, I meet the criteria for Trillium, but I also happen to meet the criteria for Sunflower, and I see no reason not to state that.
Yeah. That's what the caret 10.0.0 is saying, Wayne. Right? Like this casts a wider net, and so it includes the criteria that we specifically name, which is to say 10.1.0, which is the active release. But if we want to allow people to cast a wider net, there's not necessarily a reason to prevent that. The potential issue with casting a wider net is, maybe you're opening things up toward people requesting more support for something that isn't technically supposed to be supported. And we would want to keep our support window narrow. So that's sort of the risk with having that wider thing, but it's also it's not really a change, right? Like we're just sort of, I guess the debate is about whether we want to allow people to say, yes, I'm compatible with more things rather than I'm only compatible with this narrower scope.
Yeah, I guess my question is just what if they said caret 1.0.0, right? So 10 and
Well, so
11 would
that would
also
not
be
work,
valid there,
right?
right?
Caret 1.0.0 would not work because that's
Oh,
not
right, that's true.
compliant. That's not compliant with 1.0. They could say greater than or equal to, which is and we're going to get into weird Sunver things here, but what if they said I'm
Right.
compatible with version 8 or 9 or 10, caret 8 or caret 9 or caret 10. Do we want to allow
Right.
stuff like that? I don't think that's the point of this discussion. Strictly from the point of view of evaluation, I would have no problems accepting the particular nomenclature in TCR 56. If we separately want to try to answer this question of what specifically the criteria mean. I don't know. I don't know if we want to do those two things at once, but I feel like we're sort of doing two things
Right.
at once here. So,
Yeah, that's fair.
yeah.
Wayne?
I just was gonna comment on Zach's comment about support, the potential support burden. I mean, one can always say, oh, okay, yeah, I'm gonna, no, I'm gonna fix this by, I was wrong, and I'm gonna fix this by changing my requirement, my dependency, because I don't mean to support Sunflower, for example. I mean, you can always say no, because this module was not approved for Sunflower. If it happens to work with Sunflower, that's great, but then you're on your own as an implementer.
Yeah, okay. I'm convinced to giving this a check. I appreciate the discussion, and I'll probably add a comment on the bottom, under TCR process improvements. I'll just say that Christy and Wayne and I did a couple of meetings on this together, and we had a lot of well, hopefully constructive input on how to make the criterion more actionable, especially for folks who are newer to the process. And so whenever the TC does its next subgroup to consider all those process improvements, well, you're welcome. We have some to consider. But other than that, I'll check this box, and then there would be nothing left that I did not check. So I would just leave it open to any questions.
Thanks, Maccabee. And we that checked, we should be good to approve or not approve this evaluation, correct?
Yeah, correct. So I would call for lazy consensus, or if anyone has an objection.
Any objections? All right, it's approved. Maccabee, you can change the status when you're ready.
Yep. I'll wrap it up.
Thank you. Existing module evaluation. So, like I said last week, mod copycats, no go. The next target is mod EBSCO net. So hopefully make some headways there. And we can start the existing module evaluation pilot for those folks. Okay, subgroups. Any updates from the licensing subgroup?
Yeah, I had a few updates there. So we had another meeting on Thursday, right? Yeah, Thursday. That's right. We continued discussion of some of the LGPL issues, and our understanding is that there'll be some initial conversation on that at WolfCon at a shoulder meeting. We're also continuing to look at the tools that we can use to make the process easier. So that includes, but is not limited to, SEMGREP. There are a couple of practical issues that we sort of encountered working that through. And thanks to Julian and other folks for helping us try to figure some of that out. Julian, there's still a question we had about the admin role and whether it's actually limited just to security managers as opposed to everybody in the GitHub. When you get a chance, do you mind looking at that? Or if you want to have a one-on-one huddle at some point, happy to do that, Julian.
I joined the licensing subgroup and we can discuss it there.
Okay, thank you. And then one issue we're looking at right now is that SEMGREP will only evaluate modules that have lock files identifiable in the repo. With an asterisk that there is a beta, an opt-in beta that we can use where it will look at the dependencies even without lock files, but that beta only applies to some languages, including Java, thankfully, but not including JavaScript. Zach and I had an initial conversation the other day just about the feasibility of using lock files on the UI modules and some of the pros and cons there, but that's a conversation for another day. The immediate question is, we would like to opt into that beta so that at least for the Java modules, which is obviously the majority of our backend modules, we could see those being evaluated in SEMGREP. And before we reach out to ask for that opt-in beta, we just wanted to check here if there were any objections or concerns to doing that.
For information purposes, what is the lock file used for?
Do you mean by SEMGREP, or do you mean more broadly than that?
Broadly, or why would the lock file be in the JavaScript repos?
So a lock file determines the exact versions of all transitive dependencies, right? So if you have, say, platform complete, which includes UI users and UI requests and Stripe's components and Stripe's core has a package JSON, which includes, dependencies X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z have a package JSON, so on and so on and so on, right? So there's this big hierarchy of versions, and the job of a package manager, whether it's Yarn or NPM or PNPM, is to do what's called version resolution and figure out what all the potential compatible versions of all those packaged JSONs are, and then install them. Yarn lock or a package lock.json is a list of that, a snapshot of that resolution at any given moment in time. And so what we have when we say tag, Ramsen's CSP6 is a specific set of dependencies that were resolved for all of the packages in that platform complete at the moment that release was tagged. And so, say we publish CSP6 on September 1st, and then somebody releases a new version of a third-party dependency on September 10th, and you decide to install Ramsen's CSP6 today, September 15th. You want to get the things that we tested with on September 1st. You don't want to get those new packages that a third party released on the 10th. So that's what a lock file allows you to do in the context of a platform. In the context of a specific repository like UI users or Stripe's core, those lock files are ignored when we're building a platform, but they can be useful for, again, the purpose of creating a consistent set of dependencies. So when we're running tests, for example, in our CI modules, or when multiple different developers are working in different places and we want to make sure that they are working with the same set of dependencies when they're running tests, a lock file is useful that way. The knock-on ability of tools like SEMGREP or Sneak to look at a yarn lock file and perform a security analysis are sort of extra, but they're not what a lock file was invented for. So there are implications. I don't want to say good and bad or good or bad, but it what exactly we get when we analyze a lock file from a repository like UI users or Stripe's core. Again, such a lock file being ignored in the context of a platform is a bit of an open question. But the reason to commit them to an individual repository would be, again, consistency with testing, and then it can provide some insight perhaps with those tools. But that insight, again, dubiously valuable because it might not reflect what we actually install in production, either because that lock file gets ignored or because a lock file also contains dev dependencies for users, for core, for requests, and dev dependencies are not going to get installed in production. So.
Got it. Is it correct to say we have a lock file in on the at a platform level, but not at the repo level?
We certainly have a lock file at the platform level. Some repos have them and some do not. We've gone back and forth on whether we want them at the repo level for many of the issues that I just described, right? They do provide consistency, but they might also provide either a false sense of security or a false sense of insecurity if they don't reflect what's happening in production. Again, you might see a vulnerability in a lock file in a dev dependency. Well, that's never going to show up in production, so we don't necessarily have to worry about it. Or it only shows up It shows up in the lock file because we, created that lock file in a commit on Monday, but we built our production platform on Friday. The platform's lock file, the resolution for the platform happened on Friday. It ignored that lock file from the transitive dependency on Monday. And so that thing that's in Monday's lock file doesn't even show up on Friday's lock file. So like there's all kinds of it's complicated, I guess, is what it comes down to. And so we have to sort of be thoughtful about what knowledge we're getting when we do the analysis below the level of a platform. There can certainly be value in it, but we have to be cognizant of both what it's telling us and what it's not telling us, because analyzing UI users' lock file is very different than analyzing platform complete's lock file.
Cool.
I could talk about
Any
this stuff forever. You probably don't want that, but I'm happy
Yes.
to provide as much information as anybody wants, either here or another day.
Yeah, I
Don't say
mean,
something? Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I brought it up and then said for another day exactly because of that.
Yeah,
This is very worthy. This is very worthy of a conversation and discussion, 100%. But we're not there yet. And taking the easy path first would mean seeing if this beta will help. So that's the ask right now. Is there any concern, when changes to SEMGRIP were made in the past, there was occasionally concern that there wasn't good communication about that, or it caused some side effects, which is valid. So I'm just trying to be careful here before we actually request opting into this beta for it to be able to evaluate at least Java modules that don't have lock files. Is there any concern or objection on that side?
any concerns or objections? All right, that's good for licensing.
Thank you.
Documentation. Thank you, MacV.
Yeah, the documentation subgroup, we met last Wednesday, and we incorporated the feedback that we received from Maccabee about the information architecture proposal. We put together on a console page. Sorry, not console. I'm sorry, Confluence. Sorry, we use console. We call it console at the university here. And anyways, I'll put a link in the chat to the page that I'm talking about, where we've inserted our information architecture proposal, and we're kind of at the point where we want to move some documents around, and we're timid about it and shy because we feel we need to get approval from this group that yes, we need a rubber stamp. So we're hoping to get a rubber stamp from you all today, if it's okay. I feel like it shouldn't really be too controversial to just make some of these changes that we've proposed. And so we're at the step where we want to get approval and implement this. So that's the update.
Thank you for your feedback, Maccabee. So yeah, this information was posted last week. Are there any objections to the approach so far? If we are approving this, we're giving team to go ahead to make changes in the TC space. Wayne?
I have no objections. I think that this is a good structure. I have been sort of working through the architecture and sort of looking at individual pages, and I have some notes that I've been gathering on that. Shelley or anyone in the group, should I just like when I sort of have, I don't want to just do things piecemeal. I mean, when I sort of have a list of things that I wanted to comment on, should I just send them your way?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. I think the only thing that I did want to bring up is that the developer onboarding index, if that's really, I mean, this architecture makes it look like that's our landing page, which I'm not, or close to our landing page. And as a council, I mean, I'm sure you've looked at it, right? It's pretty incomplete and out of date. And I don't know if, as a council, we are committed to it. If we are, then it belongs where it is. If we aren't committed to it, then it should probably not be at the top of the list.
Okay.
The subgroup is scoped to moving stuff around, but not necessarily, updating individual pages. The location of that in the index file, can change or move. So,
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't suggesting, hey, subgroup fix this page. I was suggesting if it's not a page that we're committed to, it probably doesn't belong where it is in the information architecture, because it's misleading.
Got it. Yeah, my comment was regarding the first part of your comment saying about reviewing some pages and changes within that. But yeah, as Shelley said, you can send it to the group. So we won't delete any pages. So whatever insights you have within a specific page will still hold after the reorg by the subgroup.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, and just to further comment on what Wayne was saying, I feel like leaving it up there at the top, I mean, the content of that page might be lacking, but I think we do want to move something about developer onboarding to the top of the list, and having it there and organizing it in this manner kind of brings surfaces the fact that, oh, there's this page here and we need to add content to it. And that would be the next step, I think, for the subgroup. But yeah, so I guess Alameda, you could ask again if there's any objections. And it sounds like we have a rubber stamp and we could move forward with moving things.
Any objections? You're good to go. Thank you, Shelley. Let's see. There are no RFCs that I'm aware of. On decision log, we have this comment here. Florian, I think you're waiting on something from the team. Is that correct?
I wanted to contact Oleksii, but I was in holidays, and last week I didn't have very much time, so I will do it as soon as I
This week.
can.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it again. Well, I guess not next week since there's WolfCon, but yeah, we'll keep it on the agenda to keep tracking it.
Okay.
Thank you. We will have a dedicated discussion for this on Wednesday. But anything that needs to be said in this meeting here regarding this? Okay. OST page. I'll be able to add some words to the communication plan that is on the main page for OST and place it there. The idea there is to talk to some specific groups for relevant changes that need to go on. And then it will be difficult to refresh the OST pages for Umbrella Leaf and Trillium and Ramsden since we don't have the new dates for Trillium. So at least from my side, I'm waiting for that new date so that we know when things are supported or not supported based on our third-party dependencies. Are there any thoughts regarding OST? Okay then. Any other general topic or discussion? If you want to hang back for a presentation on log files by Zach, feel free to stay. But otherwise, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks all.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Wait, he was kidding, right?
I was kidding.
Thank God, because a lot of people stayed. I'm like, wait a minute.
Gotcha.
Whew. All right. See y'all
Bye.
next time.